Welcome, everybody. You're listening to Living the Good Life, coming to you today live from Clearwater, Florida, Dunedin area. It's beautiful here today, and we are so glad you've joined us. I'm Pastor Marcia McAllister, and some of you are watching us on the web, and we are sitting in here in the studio on a gorgeous day. We're so glad you're with us. It's going to be a good day. It's Father's Day, and that's a very special day around the country for a lot of people, and some of you maybe have just had a big Father's Day dinner, and you're sitting back relaxing, and now you can spend some time with us in the Word. It's always fun to do that. If you have your Bibles today, you can grab that, and because we're going to really get into the Word, and we're excited about what God has to say to us today. It's been some busy days for us at Beacon of Hope in the last few months. It just seems like so much has been happening, and we've told you a lot of things that have happened, and we are temporarily meeting on Wednesday nights at the Howard Johnson's Resort in Clearwater, very close to our former location, the one that got hit by the truck, that location. And it's at the corner of 580 and US 19. And so we welcome you to come by on Wednesday night. Last Wednesday night at Bible study, we had four new people, and we were excited about that. People that had found us on the website or on the radio. So we are really glad about that. And we welcome any of you out there. We teach the Word. That's what we're all about. One guy asked us on Wednesday night something about that. Like, what is this about? It's about the Word. And we're excited about that. And that's what this show is about. Because the Word of God brings strength, brings life to you today. Some of you today may be discouraged. You may be depressed. Maybe you've got some situations going on in your life that are challenging. And you just don't know what to do, and maybe you don't have answers. Hopefully, in the next few moments, as we share the Word of God with you, you will find some answers to the things you are facing. Because, you know, God wants to tell you what His plans are for you. When we began this show well over a year ago now, this is our 62nd broadcast, which we're excited about every week. When we started the show, our theme has been that God has a plan for you, that you are special to Him, that He created you just the way you are. In fact, it says in Galatians chapter 5, at the very end of Galatians chapter 5, and we shared this last week, and we will just kind of go there to refresh our minds of where we were. In the last verse of Galatians chapter 5, it says this, the very last sentence in the Message Bible says, each of us is an original. I love that little sentence. It's not a long sentence. It's just a few words right there. Each of us is an original. You are an original. You are not a carbon copy. You're not a clone. You're not a carbon copy of anyone else. You are unique. God made you exactly the way you are. You have gifts. You have talents. You have abilities. Some of you may be sitting out there saying, I don't know. I have no idea what I can do. It just seems like I don't have a place in God's kingdom here on this earth. But you do. The good news is you do. You have a place, and God has a plan for you. It's time to be encouraged because God is doing great things. Last Wednesday night at Bible study, I tell you, we got into such a fantastic discussion in Galatians chapter 5 and 6. And just some wonderful concepts here about learning to forgive. In fact, this Wednesday night, we are really going into detail about forgiveness. And that's a very difficult thing for a lot of people. So we welcome you Wednesday night to come and get involved in our discussion. When I teach, I try my best to get people involved. And on Wednesday nights, we have tables and chairs set up at the Howard Johnson's in a beautiful room. We have room for you to bring your Bible and your notebook and your pen and your glass of water or your bottle of water or whatever and spread out there and get comfortable and study the Word of God with us. We welcome that. That's what we do best at Beacon of Hope. That's what we're all about. We're in our seventh year, actually, and we're excited about that because God has done some great things through the years at Beacon of Hope. With this being Father's Day, there are some special things we want to talk about today. We want to talk about that father nature of God, what God is all about. And we will relate that a little bit to our earthly fathers, I am sure. But we're going to talk about what God does for us in the area of being a father, a daddy to us. There are a lot of fathers out there today that possibly are excited about the fact that they are going to be new fathers. We've got some of that going on in our family right now. This is the year where three of my nephews are having babies, and one of those nephews is having twins this year. So this is an exciting year for three of my nephews as they become new daddies. And it's an exciting time in the things of God that we are experiencing on a daily basis, because our Father God loves us so much, just like an earthly daddy loves his baby so much or his children so much. Our Father God loves us so much that he cares about the details in our lives. We've been talking about that a lot on Living a Good Life, that God cares about the details, because there's a lot of those. There's a lot of things going on in our lives that need God's help. It's always amazing to me when I hear somebody say, you know, I know God wants to help me with the big things in my life, but you know, the little stuff, well, I don't think he has time for that. And I'm here to tell you today, my friend, God not only has time for it, he wants to listen to you when you talk to him. Let's begin today with some just talking to God. Dear God, we thank you for this opportunity on Living the Good Life to share your word with our listening audience, wherever they might be, in the Tampa Bay area or different places around the globe today. Lord, I ask that every single listener that has tuned in or will tune in the next few moments will feel your touch, mighty God, will know your presence, and will desire to be closer to you than ever before. God, I just ask that today, the words that come as we talk on this radio show and as we teach, that those words would be full of the power and the presence of Almighty God. God, that you would so invade our thoughts and our hearts and our minds and our lives that we will walk away from this show saying, I have truly felt God's presence and his anointing in my life. So God, show us the things that are going to help each listener. And Lord, Holy Spirit, we just trust you to get down in the inside of each of us as we study your word. We thank you for this opportunity in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. We are excited that you've joined us today. Listen to this song by Phillips, Craig, and Dean. It is a cool song, When God Ran. Listen to that title. You got to hear this song. It's really good. Listen to these words.
The great I am, immovable rock, omnipotent, powerful, awesome Lord, victorious warrior, commanding King of Kings, mighty conqueror, and the only time. The only time I ever saw him run was when he ran to me. He took me in his arms, held my head to his chest, said, my son's come home again, lifted my face, wiped the tears from my eyes with forgiveness in his voice. see it was the only time. It was the only time I ever saw him run. And then he ran to me. He took me in his arms, held my head to his chest, said, "My son's come home again." Lifted my face, wiped the tears from my eyes. With forgiveness in his voice, he said, "Son, do you know I still love you?" He caught me by surprise, and he brought me to my knees when God ran. I saw him. So ashamed, all alone and so far away. But now I know that he's been waiting for this day. I saw him run to me. He took me in his arms, held my head to his chest, and said, "My son's gone."
Praise God. You're listening to Living the Good Life today from Beacon of Hope Ministries. We're so glad you've tuned in to our live show that we have every single week. We're talking today, this is Pastor Marcia McAllister, and we are talking today about the father nature of God. It is Father's Day weekend, and that's a wonderful time. And that song, that's the first time I've ever heard that song, actually. And Connie does our music, as you all know, and she found that song, and it's so appropriate. It's about running to God, and God saying, "Son, do you know I still love you?" You know, there's so many times in our lives where we feel like we have messed up so much. Maybe you are at a place like that in your life right now where you have been running from God. You've been running, okay, but you've been running away from God, and you've been doing your own thing. And God would say to you today, "Child, do you know I still love you?" You know, son, I love that word, son. I always have, son, daughter. There's times I call my daughter Lori, daughter, you know, and my kids, you know, sometimes I just refer to them as son. And my son Mark was home this weekend, and I remember different times yelling through the house at him, "Son, come here, I need you," or whatever the case may be. I love that word, because God knows us as his children. We are his sons and his daughters. And in that song, it's so powerful. "Son, do you know I still love you?" No matter what you do, no matter how messed up you may be feeling today in your circumstances. And some of you out there may be saying, "You don't have any idea, Pastor, what I'm going through." No, I may not. But I can tell you that God wants to be right there going through it with you. God's word says in Hebrews that he will never leave you or forsake you. That if you are his child, if you know him as your personal savior, that you can run into his arms. And some of you may be saying, "I'm not sure I even know that." We'll talk more about that later in the show. But God is saying to us today, run to me. Go with me to Psalm 71. It's a beautiful passage. And I was studying earlier this morning and came across this passage, and I was actually going to teach a different passage, but this just hit me for today. Psalm 71, verse 1 in the Message Bible says this: I run for dear life to God. The operative word here is run. Now, you know, when you're running, you're making some progress, aren't you? You're going towards something, and you're not just kind of ambling along, barely making it. You know, when you're running, you got some purpose. You say, well, maybe I'm just running to work out. That's okay, but you still have a purpose, a direction. And Psalm 71, verse 1 says, I run for dear life to God. I'll never live to regret it. Let me tell you, dear one, if you run to God, you're not going to regret it. You are not going to regret it. Run into his arms, just like this song says. And it says, I wrote down a couple of the words of this as it was playing. He took me into his arms with forgiveness in his voice. And that is the God we serve. And so many of us have a concept of God that is not scriptural. It is not accurate. So many times I've heard through the years as a pastor, somebody say, well, you know, God's mad at me. You know, he's really mad at me. I can't get back into good graces with God because I know he's upset with me. You know what? That's not his nature. God's whole nature is love. In fact, one of the best verses in the Bible is very short, and it's from 1 John chapter 4, verse 8, and it says, God is love. Y'all know what I'm going to say next? Love. God is love. That's his whole nature. It doesn't say God is anger. It doesn't say God is punishment. It doesn't say God is vengeance and revenge. It doesn't say anything like that. It says God is love. If you don't remember anything else today on Living the Good Life, you need to remember that God is love. And it says here in Psalm 71, I run for dear life to God. I'll never live to regret it. Do what you do so well. Get me out of this mess and up on my feet. Let's talk about an earthly father. You get it. Let's say that you can remember. Some of you may be able to remember back when you were a kid and you got into problems, or maybe you got into some situation. I remember the day that one of my sons hit a baseball from our front yard at our home in Indiana across the street. And he's just a little guy, and he really was aiming that baseball for the vacant lot beside these people's house. But instead, it hit their front picture window. And this little son of mine ran to his dad and said, you got to fix this. You got to do something, Daddy. I didn't mean to hit their window. He was aiming the bat a different direction, but the ball hit their window and busted their front window out. Big picture window back in Indiana years ago. Now, I remember my son running to his daddy and saying, what can you do about this? You got to do something. You know, Daddy, do something. I did this, you know. And he confessed what he had done. And of course, it got straightened out. And of course, we paid for the window. But the whole thing is here that he knew enough to run to his dad for help. And this is what we must do. We must see our Father God as that kind of loving parent that can rescue us from a bad situation. Some of you out there may be thinking of stories that happened to you as a kid, something that you did and your father pulled you out of a mess. Let's think about our Heavenly Father here, because it says, and I love the way the psalmist says this, do what you do so well. That is too cool. Do what you do so well, the psalmist is saying to God. Here's what you do well. You know what you do well, God? You rescue really well. You pull me out of messes. That's the next line. Get me out of this mess and up on my feet. Now, some of you may be saying, yeah, I feel like I'm in a huge mess right now. If you only knew what's going on in my life, if you only understood all the things that are wrong in my life right now, you may have serious financial problems, serious emotional issues. Maybe you've got problems at your work, your job. And God is saying to you today, run to me, my child, and let me get you out of your mess and up on your feet. You know, I think a lot of times we go through life not realizing that God is right there waiting on us to run to Him. I think there's so many times that we simply forget or put it out of our minds, behind our mind. We just kind of put it back there somewhere. We forget that God's whole nature is love and that He is waiting patiently for you to run to Him. Now, somebody may be asking the question right now, well, why can't He just run to me? Well, it says in James chapter 4, verse 7, draw close to God and He will draw close to you. You see, the reason is God respects your choices. Some of you say, well, what does that mean? God has given you a free will. He has given you the ability to decide to run to Him or not. He's not ever going to make you do it. You may be in the biggest mess you've ever been in, and God is not going to force you to run to Him. He's not going to do it. Now, He may conveniently have people come in your path that will steer you, guide you, suggest to you, hey, yeah, God can handle that. Somebody may call you and say, hey, I've been praying for you. You've been on my heart today. And you're going, whoa, somebody's got me on their mind or on their heart. And God is nudging you. Let's use that word. He's nudging you a little bit towards Him. But God is not going to force you or make you run to Him. The psalmist here recognizes this, and he says, I choose. In verse 1 of Psalm 71, I run for dear life to God. Okay, I'll never live to regret it. Do what you do so well, God. Get me out of this mess and up on my feet. Can anybody say amen out there in our listening audience? Does God do that well? Get you out of messes and put you on your feet? Amen. I'm here to tell you today. God has gotten me out of so many messes in my life and up on my feet. And instead of curled up in a ball of defeat and discouragement, God has set me up on my feet countless times in my life and renewed me with His strength and His love and His wisdom and said to me, hang in there, it's going to be okay. Listen to the next line in the Message Bible. Put your ear to the ground and listen. Put your ear to the ground and listen. Do you remember the cowboy and Indian movies? I grew up on Roy Rogers, Dale Evans, Hopalong Cassidy, and all those good guys, you know, on Saturday mornings. The guys in the white hats, the black hat guys, they weren't too cool. But the white hat guys, you know, and then there was the Lone Ranger and his scout, Tonto. You remember that? And I can remember seeing pictures of the Lone Ranger there on our little black and white TV back many, many years ago. I won't tell you how many. And Tonto would go ahead of the Lone Ranger and he would put his ear down to the ground to see if he heard hoofbeats. He would put his ear down to the ground to see what he heard. And this is an interesting expression here in Psalm 71. This is an old practice of putting your ear to the ground and seeing what you hear. Put your ear to the ground and listen. Give me space for salvation. Salvation. Salvation is more than just you receiving Jesus as your Lord and Savior. The word salvation includes your health, your mental health. It includes you having safety. It includes you having help in other areas of your life. And it says here in Psalm 71, be a guest room where I can retreat. The psalmist is saying to God, God, I want you to be a guest room. Now picture this right now. I have a guest room in my home, and my kids were home this weekend, and they stayed in that guest room. And they knew when they walked in the door, found the key, and got in the door, they knew where their room was. There's a guest room, okay? And it's a retreat. You can shut that door and block out the noise of the dogs and everything else going on in the house. And this psalmist says, God, I want you to be a guest room where I can retreat. Think about that. God wants to be that guest room for you where you can run to Him, where you can hang out with Him, where you can retreat. And then the next line in the Message Bible says this, you said your door was always open. Dear one, God's door is always open. Did you know that? He is always there, ready to open the door to you when you cry to him. And the psalmist goes on and says, you're my salvation, my vast granite fortress. That's who he is. Granite is that very hard surface we're using on kitchen cabinet tops now. And that is it's really, really tough and durable. And it's the most desirable kitchen cabinet surface now. And why is that? Because not only is it beautiful, but it's durable and it's hard and it's got all kinds of different designs in it. There's so many wonderful designs of granite. And the psalmist says here, you're my salvation, my vast granite fortress. What is that saying to us? We run to God. He is there. He listens. He wants you to run to him right now with whatever situation you have going on in your life right now. We're going to talk more about this in just a moment with our special guest, Michelle Cardinal, who is on the line waiting to come on in a minute. But we are obligated first to do a station identification. And then we'll be right back. You're listening to Living the Good Life.
WTAN, Clearwater, Tampa, St. Petersburg. WDCF, Dade City, Zephyr Hills, Wesley Chapel.
All right. This is Pastor Marcia McAllister from Beacon of Hope Ministries. We are in Dunedin, Florida. The radio station is just down the road, and I love driving to the radio station when I come. It's just, the water is so beautiful, seeing it. It's gorgeous all the way along to the radio station. It's a pleasure to be with you here today. Michelle Cardinal, are you on the line?
I am here.
Hey, all right.
How's things going?
Things are going great. I love being back in my chair here. Last week it was a little weird doing the show on the road, you know?
Yes, I see. I'm happy to be back as well.
Yes, we missed you. You were in Boston last week, weren't you?
Yes, please come to Boston. And I had to say yes, not no.
Did you have a great weekend?
Yeah, it was great. A lot of traveling, a lot of visiting family.
Cool.
It was great fun. And, of course, being in Beantown when all that were the town of champions.
The town of champions.
My, New England Northeasterners that are excited about the Celtics and the Red Sox.
Yeah, those are Red Sox. They're doing, yeah, it's cool. And the Celtics, of course, yes. Yes, we can't forget them. But anyway, it's Father's Day, Michelle. It's a special day, isn't it?
It certainly is, and I have to say, I have been incredibly, enormously blessed with the father that, my earthly father, so... all the things that you were talking about earlier, he epitomizes, and he epitomized throughout my whole life. And I'm excited. I called him. I'm going to see him actually during the week instead of Sunday. But yes, it's my God. He is why I am a believer in my God.
Yes, because of your dad, right?
Yeah, he was the first part of it. You know, encouraging me to seek that relationship with him when I was younger, and
right.
Gave me the freedom to come to it on my own. You were talking about how God just puts you out there and lets you learn on your own, and you always can come back to him. And that's what my dad did, too, you know. I did want to touch on real quick.
Go ahead.
Talking about the different versions. You have the Message Bible.
Right.
And in my Bible, at the very beginning of Psalm 71, it says, in you, O Lord, I have taken refuge. Let me never be put to shame.
Cool.
Amen to that. Because I was looking up refuge. You know, we all know what refuge is, but it's always nice to hear
it. No, tell us what refuge is. I think that's good to hear.
It's a great one. And if this doesn't epitomize you know, the good God Almighty, it's a place of shelter, protection, or safety.
Wow. Shelter, protection, and safety.
You can look at that from every perspective of those words emotionally and physically. When you go to God, he certainly provides that shelter and protection from you know, the emotional struggles we go through each day. And he also provides for us, you know, in a physical sense.
Sure, he does. Yes.
When we seek him, we just ask him for it, and he gives it to us. And we have definitely seen that in abundance over this last year.
Yes. He really does, you know, and there's so many people out there in our listening audience, Michelle, that I feel that don't run to God for whatever reason. Did you ever have a time like that in your life, Michelle, where you went through a period of time where you just kind of had God on the back burner, so to speak, or on the shelf somewhere?
Did I have a time?
How many times?
That's one I'll talk about. I know there's been many times. And, you know, I was thinking of some analogies as you were talking earlier.
Go ahead.
And you think about, you know, the times that we even disappointed our families, our dad. And I'm trying to bridge this with our relationship with God.
Go ahead.
How many times God might be a little bummed out that you didn't, you know, go to him for help. You decided to do it on your own, and you failed, and it hurt you, and it discouraged you, and it made you sad.
Right.
And then you go back to him. Well, the same things happened with my dad growing up. You know, I used to skip school, cause a little trouble in school.
Not you, Michelle. Not you. You couldn't have done things like that.
Just trying to keep the spice in my life, right?
Okay.
But my father never shut me out. He always forgot about it or let it go. And I was thinking, you know, they can be mad at you, and then when you come over for a special event, they get all excited. It's kind of like how your puppies, I want to give everybody a visual here, you know, when your dogs are so excited to see you, and they jump up and down.
Yes.
Kind of how my dad is when I go to see him now. You know, he acts like, oh, hey, how you doing? You can see that excitement and that happiness and that love in his face when he sees me, even though he wants to act like Mr. Cool Dude Dad.
Uh-huh.
I think that's what God does with us.
Amen.
When we go through these trials and tribulations that, like you said, he gives us that free will to do that. And maybe it's for us to learn and to appreciate him more and to come running back to him.
Amen.
So when we do finally go through that time of being away from him, when we turn back and run to him and seek that refuge in him, he acts that way too. I think he gets all giddy and happy and sun. And, you know, you gotta wonder, is that when the sun is shining especially bright that day, you know, and it just rejuvenates you when you feel that. And I think that's what the peace is, too, is his excitement to have you, your faith renewed in him.
Exactly. So you think God gets actually excited when we run to him, Michelle, when we are like, you know, like down on our luck, we're a mess, nothing's going right. You know, I think a lot of times people feel that God's going to be so upset with them if, you know, because they only need him when their back's up against the wall. You know that concept?
Yeah, I do. And I think people feel that way about their own fathers, too. But like our earthly fathers, they're really excited that you come and seek their help because they want to help you. And they can't help you unless you ask.
Right.
And they get so excited. I really do think God gets, I know he does. I feel it in my heart.
Yes. I agree.
That he gets excited, and that's how. And I know because he continuously blesses my life.
Yes.
And the same thing with my earthly father. You know, whenever I ask him for help, it's been months, years, whatever. I'm like, Dad, you know, I really need some advice here. You know, I'm having a little challenge. You know, with XYZ.
Right.
And you can tell it's that look in the face. It's that feeling. You know, that feeling that you can't describe, and that's how God is.
Exactly. And there's times we've disappointed our earthly fathers, right? We can all relate to that.
Okay.
And there's times we've disappointed God, you know? And, you know, just I just really feel like this relates so perfectly right now to God's nature in what you're talking about right now, in that it's hard to stay mad at your kid, don't you think? I mean,
oh, absolutely. It's like you're my two little cooking partners here, Henry and Avery.
Your dogs?
Yes. It's how can you stay mad at them? They look at you with that eye.
Oh, my gosh, yes.
They fill your heart with their pathetic little look.
And so what do? Your heart melts and you go, oh, come here, you know, yes. Let me hug you, let me hold you, you know.
It is, and that's, and, you know, we cannot, and, you know, this is what the devil wants you to think. We cannot, we're disappointed in people.
Right.
But I definitely, you know, there's a difference between being disappointed and unforgiving.
That's right.
And it's just, that's life, and we all... Most anybody I know acknowledges that this is what happens in life, and there's going to be disappointment, but it's what are you going to do after that?
Absolutely. We are going to disappoint our earthly parents, right? We're going to disappoint our Heavenly Father. We do. But what you're saying is that there is forgiveness. Is that what you're saying?
Always forgiveness.
Always forgiveness.
And I feel that in my heart, too. That's why I know it.
You know, I can so relate to this. And there are people out there listening today, though, Michelle, that quite possibly did not have an earthly father like what we're talking about. Mm-hmm. You know, and you acknowledge there are people like that, right? That this is not a perfect world we live in.
Right. Unfortunately, that is true.
And there are some people that may say, you know what? My earthly father was really messed up. And maybe he was an abuser. Maybe he abandoned his family. Maybe he did all kinds of things or hurt them very deeply. And this is what we are talking about right now in the book of Galatians on Wednesday night, is this learning to restore relationships and learning how to forgive, you know? And I'm going to say this, and you can comment on it, Michelle, but I believe that one of the things that keeps us bound up, one of the biggest things in our lives that keeps us bound up and keeps us from really accepting God's love in our lives, is that a lot of us walk around in unforgiveness toward the very ones we should really be forgiving, usually mom and dad. Are you there?
Oh, I kind of lost you there for a minute. I wonder if it's my radio or my phone.
Oh, did it just bleep out a minute? Sometimes
yeah,
it does that.
Yeah, I had I lost the connection. Sorry.
The parental things that happen in our lives are huge for most people, Michelle.
It is. And, you know, my only thought is it is unfortunate. As I stated earlier, I've been incredibly blessed with my earthly parents, but I do know some folks that have had strained relationships with their respective parents. And, you know, if you are yearning that relationship, even though your parents didn't provide that to you, you know it's there, and God has it. God can give it to you.
Exactly.
And I know some listeners that are out there now that had a strained relationship with their father for over 10 years.
Right.
And the amount of happiness and peace in her life, LCD, is tenfold now because she has that and she's forgiven what's happened in the past. And now she has such incredible peace,
right,
and happiness with her father now that it does nothing but continue to bless her life each day.
But what you're saying is that that person that you just referenced had to do something about the situation. And a lot of times that the people that have hurt us the most, they don't ever make any attempt to fix it, unfortunately.
No, that's it's human nature, unfortunately.
Yeah, it is.
But you have to make that choice.
Right.
Again, that's what God gave us, that free will. And you have to make the choice. What do you want in your life? You know, I when I was younger, I had some challenges with my mother, and I know some people who've had the same challenge with their father, who they expect, oh, why wasn't my father there to help me through college, to get me through college, or I needed a place to live, and he had better things to do. Well, you know, at that time, we weren't in a place we are now. In my particular instance, it's in this feel of this place of peace. And I chose to forgive my mother for some of the decisions she made.
Right.
And my friend, who I'm speaking of, chose to forgive her father because she realized that some things had happened that wasn't even that she wasn't even aware of.
Right.
So those are the choices we do have to make.
Absolutely. And what is so cool is that when we release forgiveness, God just absolutely comes in and brings such peace and such joy when we do our part, you know? And sometimes there are people that have hurt us, maybe since we're talking about parents today, there are sometimes some of our parents that have gone on. They're no longer here in this earthly realm, but we still need to release forgiveness in order to be free ourselves on the inside, you know?
Right, and then that's when we start receiving the gifts of the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Like love.
Right.
Joy, peace. We're able to be kind or more gentle. So with those wonderful things, it's you're rewarded tenfold once you let go of the anger and the unforgivingness. You're able to then forgive others.
Exactly. And it really has everything to do with our choices. That's what we're saying here. It really does.
It is, because we have the choice to walk out that door and put a smile smile on our face and wave to the neighbors next door, or put your head down and pretend like you don't see them.
Exactly. Choices. This is good. This is good. I want to put a little plug in here, Michelle, and then we're going to play a song entitled Shepherd by Todd Agnew. But I want to put a little plug in here for, in particular, my second book I wrote last year. It's entitled Living Large and Loving It. And it has to do with living in abundance in the different areas of our lives. And I talk about finances. I talk about our health issues and all kinds of things. But then God had me devote a whole section to getting along with people. And there, I do a thing in there about the house of pain, that a lot of us have built up this huge house of pain that has to do with unforgiveness and resentment and anger and so forth, and versus the house of love. And God is that love. And, you know, people can go onto our website, www.beaconofhopeministries.com, and order Lessons from the Fiery Furnace, my first book, and then the second one. The second one is the one that really deals with these kinds of issues. So I just wanted to put that little plug in there. Are you going to hang out with us for a few minutes? And
yeah, I can stay on until 5:30. We still got 15 minutes, right?
Yeah, and well, I'm going to teach for a minute. Do you need to go right at 5:30? You want me to rearrange things?
No, I can, whenever you're finished teaching, I'll come back on.
All right, that sounds real cool. Listen to this song, and we'll be back with you in a few minutes.
Just need to hear your voice.
Praise God. You're listening to Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries in Dunedin, Florida. I'm Pastor Marcia McAllister. We're taking the ministry on the road. We're doing some exciting things right now. One of the new things we're doing is live streaming this radio show. As you know, it's always live. We've only had a couple in a whole year that have been repeats, and we are always live in the studio. And if you are listening in any part of the world, looking on your, or you have your computer right there and you're listening by your computer, then you can see that we are live streamed. I've got a great little green Sanibel Island shirt on here, so you can see us in the studio. And it's a cool thing that this radio station is doing now, so we're excited about that. We've been taking the ministry on the road. We've been in Pensacola preaching, and last weekend we're in Indiana, and that was an exciting weekend. Had a great service in Newcastle. Hope to go back there in a few months with our dear friends up there. I pastored for 7 years in Newcastle, Indiana, so it was good, wonderful to see some of my people up there and to hug their necks and go to Bob Evans and have some dinner and just have a good old time. So to all of you that put together that service last week, a special thank you and a special love to you. And it's exciting to be with you every week on this radio station. We love to get the word out to you. Look with me at Luke chapter 15 for just a moment. It's a familiar story. It's the story of the prodigal son. And the prodigal son is the child of privilege who went to his father and said, "Father, I want to go ahead and get my inheritance. Now, I want to go do my own thing." And some of you can relate to that phrase, do my own thing, because you've been doing your own thing forever. And this is what the son did. He went to his father and said, "I want to do my own thing. I want to go get my money now. I want to get it early. I want to go out and spend and do whatever and party and have a great old time." Which, if you know this story, and I won't read it, but in Luke 15, the son does that very thing. He eventually runs out of money and eventually comes to the end of his good time and says, "You know what? I'm sick and tired of just doing my own thing." And some of you out there listening today can relate to this, and maybe you are tired of the struggle. You're tired of being out there on your own. You're tired of always feeling like nothing good happens to you, that it's just one bad thing after another, and you want to climb up on somebody's lap and really be comforted and be held and be told that you're okay and that you are loved. And this is what happened to the prodigal son. And he came to his senses, it says, one day, and he was actually working in a pig pen. And I mean, you talk about getting pretty low, that's pretty bad. And that's where his job was. And it says in verse 17 of Luke chapter 15 that this whole incident brought him to his senses. I believe, and I'm going to put this out to you right now, I believe there are things that happen in our lives. God allows them, and sometimes we just don't know why a certain thing is happening to us. But events happen so that God can get our attention. Did you hear me? I'm going to say it again. Certain things happen at critical, defining moments in our lives where God wants to get your attention. He says to you, "You know what? Are you sick of it yet? Are you sick of doing your own thing yet? Are you sick and tired yet of rolling around in the pig pen? Are you tired of the smell of all the crud on you and everything you've been doing?" And this prodigal son came to his senses in the pig pen, and he goes, "You know what? I'm going home. I don't know how Dad's going to receive me, but I am going home. I am tired of fighting it." And he said in these verses, "Father," he said, this is what he determined he was going to say, "Father, I've sinned against God. I've sinned before you. I don't deserve to be called your son." Somebody out there today may be feeling that very thing. "I don't even deserve to be God's child. I have been such a mess for so long. I haven't ever, for so long, gone to God and say, 'God, what should I do here?' Instead, I've just been doing my own thing." And this child, young man, decided to go and repent and ask his father to forgive him. And sometimes we need to do that very thing with our parents, with those closest around us. When we hurt people, we need to say, "Forgive me." Okay, so he did this. He goes home, and as he's trekking home, you know he's thinking in his head, what am I going to say to my dad? What am I going to say to my dad? How's my dad going to receive this? I mean, is he going to be mad at me? Is he going to take me back in? Is he going to let me live outside, in the servants' quarters? What's he going to do? Y'all know the end of the story. The dad was standing there looking for his son. It says, when he was still a long way off, his father saw him. Guess what, my dear friend? God sees you. You may be feeling right now that you're a long way off, that you're nowhere close to a really good relationship with God. And God would say to you, guess what, baby? I see you. I see you. He sees you from afar off because you are making maybe baby steps toward him, but you're going toward him. And when the father saw his son, His heart was pounding, it says. He ran out. The father ran out, embraced him, and kissed him. And the son started his speech. He said, Father, I've sinned against God. I've sinned before you. I don't deserve to be called your son anymore. I am so sorry. I'm so sorry. Oh, Dad, I had it all wrong. I thought I knew the right thing to do. And you know what, Dad? I was really messed up. But it says in verse 22 of Luke 15, but the father wasn't listening. He was calling to the servants, and here's what he was saying. Now you need to know that your Father God is saying this very thing about you right now. The father said to the servants, quick, bring a clean set of clothes and dress him. You know what that is? That is God's righteousness. And he is our righteousness. You run to him and you say, God, I'm sorry. And the word righteousness means it's just as if I hadn't done it. We are righteous. We become in right standing with him. And the father said, bring me clean clothes for this smelly son of mine. You know, put the family ring on his finger. Whoa, that's pretty cool. That showed that he was back in good graces with his earthly father. You know, put sandals on his feet. In Ephesians chapter 6, we know that the sandals talk about walking in peace, walking in peace. And the father was saying, you know what? I want him to have the sandals. I want him to walk in peace. And then he goes on and he says here, we're going to have a wonderful time. Now, you don't see anywhere in Luke 15 that the father says, son, I'm so glad you came back because I'm going to give you a piece of my mind. I am tired of the way you treated me. You were disrespectful. You were mean. You took my money. You spent it on all kinds of craziness. The father doesn't say any of that. He says, let's put a clean robe on him. Let's put the family ring on him. Let's put the sandals of peace on him. Let's throw a party. And let's show him how much we love him. He says, and I love this, he was lost and now he's found. And then they had a party. Did you know God wants to throw a party for you? He really does. A few months ago, my earthly father, Bill Wagner, pastor, missionary, evangelist, teacher, went to be with the Lord. And it was a very hard time for our whole family to let go of Dad and let him go. He was ready to go. He was sick with leukemia and he needed to let go of his earthly body and go on to be with his father. But the loss that we, his family, felt was incredible. But I remember the joy I also felt when Dad slipped into the arms of Jesus. He was there finally with his heavenly father where he belonged. And I know that the Bible says to be absent from your body is to be present with the Lord. It doesn't say there's a lag time like there is on our video here. There's no lag time. The moment you let go of your earthly body, you are with the Lord or you're separated from him. And we praise God that we all know where my earthly father is and that he is rejoicing today on Father's Day. He's with his heavenly father. And I go back to Psalm 71 a moment before I bring Michelle back on here. Because I want to read something from Psalm 71 back in about verse 5. I've hung on to you, God, from the day of my birth. Some of you have grown up in church. You've grown up around God. I have. My dad was a pastor from the time I was 2 weeks old. And there's a lot of stories about how I would cry and cause all kinds of ruckus when he was preaching. And he would have to like do a hand signal and send my mother outside with me because I was trying to be louder than him as he preached. But the good thing about all that is I grew up in the church. I grew up knowing God and seeing God through my earthly father. And I not only have hung on to God, my father, from my birth, but I hung on to my earthly father until I had to let him go back in November last year. And the psalmist says here, I've hung on to you, God, from the day of my birth, the day you took me from the cradle. If you can imagine an earthly father taking that baby out of the cradle and holding him and putting him up to his chest and loving him and burping him and all the things earthly fathers do, and they have such an important role in our lives, God does the very same with us. He holds us. He takes us out of that cradle and he holds us. And we run to him and we are safe. We run to him and we are safe. And there are some of us that are rebellious. Some of you may go, baby, saying, that's me, you know? Some of us are rebellious and it's not easy for us to give in to God, to surrender. Last Saturday night when I was preaching in Indiana, that theme, that word surrender just kept coming out because this is the word of the hour. This is the word that God wants to put within our hearts on this Father's Day. He wants us to surrender to him, that he is our Heavenly Father, and he does know what is best for us individually, that he cares about the details of your life, and he wants to talk to you and help you through. All he asks of you is that you just give in to him. You know, we make a lot of mistakes in our lives, but just like the prodigal son, we run to God and we are safe. Listen to this song, You Love Me Anyway, because there's been a whole lot of times that I may not have deserved it. My earthly father loved me unconditionally, which I know that because it came out of his mouth all my life. He loved me just the way God made me. And your heavenly father, my friend, loves you unconditionally. You love me anyway.
That's it, I've had enough. I think I'm giving up. I can't stay on this balance beam. I thought I had it all, but then I messed it up. The same old thing got the best of me.
I'm not good enough.
right. You love me anyway, God, no matter what I do. And I mess up so much, but you are right there. Michelle Cardinal, are you with me, girl?
I am with you.
Wow. You know,
awful.
You know, there's so many times as Christians where we just really mess up, don't we?
We do. And there's a lot of disappointment. That's what we were talking about later. And the thing I got from talking about the prodigal son is all the disappointment was forgotten.
Right.
And that's what we have to think about when we race back to God. Don't let our pride prevent us from doing that.
Oh, good point. But it does so often, doesn't it?
It does, because, you know, I guess a part of it is fear of rejection and that sort of thing. But I think the other thing is pride. You know, like, I'm not going to go back because then they'll know, I screwed up and I made a poor decision, and I don't want anybody to think that I'm a poor decision maker, so I'm not going to do it.
Right.
And it's really unfortunate to feel that way.
It is, because our Father God, his whole nature is just there. And this Jesus told this story in Luke 15, Michelle. He did it to make, you know, like you and I love these stories that make a point, you know?
Right.
And this is what Jesus was doing here. He was telling the nature of the Father. If you read that whole section, he goes on and he says, okay, here's why I told you the story, guys. It's because you need to understand that your heavenly Father is just like this earthly father in the story. You know, he receives you with open arms. He puts his new clothes on you and he gives you new sandals, you know, and he loves you and he hugs you, even if you smell bad, you know?
Absolutely. And the glorious, most wonderful thing about all of this is it gets easier and easier the closer you get.
Talk to me about that, Michelle. What do you mean by that?
Well, once you make that decision, and I speak firsthand here, is, you know, you have to say, I'm going to be wonderfully blessed. I'm going to. How, just by having faith in God and running to God, I'm going to be abundantly blessed with all these things, even material, because your whole mindset is completely changed. It's 180. And the toughest part is recognizing that it is. Once you make that decision,
right,
you choose to seek that refuge, to wear those sandals that God has prepared for you. Once you make that decision, that's
right,
the hardest part. That is the hardest part right there. That's
yeah.
it.
When he
because
got out of the pig pen.
Once
yeah.
you make it over that obstacle, you are over the raging river. You are over the unachievable mountain range. You've gone past, and it's all downhill from there. And it just, because you start seeing the changes in your life, you start feeling the peace in your heart, you start feeling the kindness in your heart, and then you start emanating it. You start doing that with other people.
Right.
And then it's a snowball effect. It just becomes bigger and better and bigger and better each step you take.
So forgiveness, even though it's hard, is the key, right?
That's it. Yeah, that is the key.
And when the father reaches out to this son who's disappointed him and hurt him and spent his money and done all these crazy things, yet the father shows him what true love really is, which is that just forgiveness, you know, that acceptance, you know?
Mm-hmm. And isn't that the stumbling block in so many relationships, whether it's a professional relationship, a friendship, with your husband, your wife, your children? Isn't that always the first step? Because the minute somebody breaks that ice,
right,
and says, I'm so sorry, it's all forgotten.
It is forgotten.
That's it.
And, you know, what happens is, you mentioned the devil earlier, and I totally agree with this. The devil has as much power as we give him. And we allow him to suggest to us that the person we've hurt or offended is not going to receive us. They're not going to be forgiving. They're not going to welcome us back. We buy into the devil's lie, Michelle, over and over again that, oh, no, that I've hurt that person too much, or I've hurt God too much. I've been such a bad example to others, or I've been such a poor Christian, or I have such little faith, or I haven't been walking in victory or whatever, and I have messed up and screwed up so bad that God can't just welcome me back, or somebody dear in your life just can't do that. We buy into the lie, don't you think?
I do think. I've seen it. I've seen other people, and on the reciprocating end, that won't forgive, which is heartbreaking because they're obviously having the same struggles that prevents them from forgiving, and that's the beauty of God, that He will always forgive.
Exactly. Oh. This is His nature, and it's wonderful. And what happens to us when we say, okay, you know what? I'm going to step out here in faith, and I'm going to believe somehow. I mean, I don't know how. I'm going to believe that if I do this, I choose to forgive this person or myself even, you know, for my own junk. If I choose to forgive, that something good is going to come from this. It's hard to take that step sometimes, isn't it?
It's excruciating.
Yeah.
Some people, including myself, would rather stick a needle in my eye.
Well,
it's pride.
It's pride. Let's go back to that, because you brought that point up, and I think that's a good one. You want to amplify on that?
Yeah, pride is, isn't that the devil's greatest tool?
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it is.
Because, you know, with that pride goes hand in hand with, in my opinion, now this part is my opinion, is with, you know, that defensive mechanism of not wanting to get hurt again, maybe.
Right, yeah.
Or even low self-esteem. And what happens when you're so prideful, I can do this on my own, I don't need help from anyone,
right.
I'm not going to get hurt again.
Right, right.
With all those thoughts, they're pushing out all the thoughts and memories of when it was nice to have peace.
Right.
Or what peace is. And that's why it's Satan's greatest tool.
Right. And all those things isolate us, you know?
They completely isolate us.
Yeah, you know, they isolate us. I've had some good friends in my life that have hurt me very deeply, Michelle. And maybe I'm not alone in that. Maybe there's other people out there listening today. You think maybe there's other people that have been hurt by people, you know?
Absolutely. And I'll say one of my best friends, we hurt one another with our words and actions toward one another. And time had gone by, and we had gone through so much together. And the memories of those happy times and supporting times and loving times came flooding back once we connected again through mutual friends, or even, you know, we may have even met up back at a grocery store or something. And all those ugly feelings and hateful things that were said and done or what have you were completely washed away, because all the wonderful memories came flooding back of, you know, we had been in the military together, and that's a stressful time when you're in the military and you really need to depend on people, and you form really strong friendships and bonds in the military. And those are the things that you think about. And if you can cross that over to what happens when you seek that from God, it's exponential.
Right.
That you get from Him. And that's what God sees when we come running back to Him.
Yes.
I don't believe He even remembers some of the things, because they're not important. What's important is that we're back with Him.
Exactly. So when you said that, that just reminds me of one of my favorite passages, Michelle, and it's in Psalm 103, and it says, it's talking about how God's great love and His mercy, and He says, God makes everything come out right. He puts victims back on their feet. You know, I mentioned that early on in Psalm 71, that God wants to put us back on our feet, you know? And then he goes on to say, God is sheer mercy and grace, not easily angered. He's rich in love. And then on down it says that when we ask him to forgive us, he forgets it. You know, our minds can't really do that. But God not only forgets it, it says he removes that sin, that situation, as far as the east is from the west from us. It's gone. It's out of there. It's no longer there. This father of this prodigal son, do you think the next day he said, hey, son, you know, I think let's talk about all this junk you did to me. You know, I think it's gone.
Totally gone.
Yeah.
It's completely gone. And it's not worth it, because if you think about it, think of a time when we've done that. We held on to that. And all it does is ferment.
Right.
And it creates this ugliness inside of us. It's not worth it. It's over. And it's in the past.
But, you know, all this that we're talking about today, Michelle, and these are simple concepts, but they are extremely profound. And if anybody out there is listening is going, well, that's not too meaty, it is extremely meaty, because here's the essence of it. Don't let the devil bang your head in with the fact that you have messed up and you are away from God's mercy and his grace, and you are feeling really bad about yourself. That is exactly where the devil wants you. And God wants you to run to him, let him set you right back up on your feet and get you out of your mess, because God is love. And that's his essence. And when you run to him, he's going to straighten you out. He's going to make it okay, you know?
Amen. I would like to leave you all with one final analogy.
Please do.
As I get older, I'm realizing the importance of exercise.
You're not even 40, my friend.
But, you know, my body, you know, breaks down, that sort of thing.
Okay.
And you have to start thinking about those things like high cholesterol and cardio, your heart pumping right and all that jazz.
Okay.
And
you should be
I hate
sitting
exercising.
In my shoes, but anyway, go ahead.
I hate exercising. I hate it, I hate it, I hate it.
Right.
But I need to do it. And when I do it, it feels great. So here's my analogy about making the choice to seek that relationship and get closer to God. It is like exercising, walking for me. It's hard. I started walking like a half mile down to the end of the street. And then when I was finished, it felt so good. And then it snowballed. I started doing it 3 to 5 times a week.
Right.
And not trying to sound like a book. Exercise book, I really did. And every time I felt better and better. I had more energy.
I hear you.
I had more, you know, happiness, freedom.
Right.
Peace, because it gave me an opportunity to pray.
Yes.
Put things together for the day, because I usually walk in the morning. And I started increasing my walk. And that also gave me an opportunity to talk with God and prepare my day. And sometimes now that I'm walking longer and more each day, I figure out, let the things go of the day, you know,
right.
The ugliness and ickiness that happened in the day, or and revel in the wonderful things that happened in the day. Now I've been doing this for over a year now.
Mm-hmm.
And when I miss that walk, I don't like doing the physical thing of it. I love how I feel afterwards.
Right.
I love what happens because of it.
Right.
But I still can't stand
it
walking.
It still doesn't feel good, right.
No. I mean, it feels good afterwards.
Right.
But, you know, to get up that,
yes.
Go, it's tough. But it feels so good when I'm
yes.
done.
Yes. Amen.
That mm-hmm. is it with God.
Right.
The closer you get, the more you want it, the easier it is to do it, and the more wonderful you feel about it.
Amen. So it's a matter of just running to him, isn't it?
It is.
It's a matter of learning to accept his love and his mercy and his grace, you know? We've got a song here I want to do here, and then we'll do some wrap-up. I don't know if you can stay with us or if you need to go. It's up to you.
I'm going to skedaddle-bedaddle.
Okay. Do you have a final thought then before we do this Mercy Came Running, or was that your final thought?
I think that was it. That pretty much put it all together for me.
Right. Well, it's always a joy to have you on the show, and it was a joy to have you in here in the studio a couple weeks ago. And Michelle Cardinal is a vital part of our congregation at Beacon of Hope. And would you say anything to our listeners out there about coming on Wednesday nights? Do you have any comment on that?
Oh, wonderful, uplifting time. And, you know, it's perfect because it's hump day. It gets you through the rest of the week. It helps you talk about your whole week. and get you through the rest of the week. It's real open. Everybody has an opportunity to talk and provide input. It's a laissez-faire kind of teaching. The teaching is wonderful, too, because God obviously puts the words in your mouth, Pastor, of what to say that week, don't you think?
I always know. Yeah, he does. Yeah. Sometimes what I think I'm going to teach, it's different. But we have been having huge breakthroughs, haven't we, on Wednesday night? And God is doing some mighty things. So appreciate you.
The merrier, and it's wonderful because it's a great fellowship.
Yeah, it really is. Start at 7 and get done about 8:30, and you can bring your coffee and your whatever you want to, or your supper if you're coming from work. So we welcome everybody to join us. Michelle, thank you so much for being on the air with us today. I will see you Wednesday night. As always, you're profound, you're wonderful, you're insightful. Blessings to you. And listening audience, listen to Mercy Came Running. Praise God. God is mercy. He's grace and he's love and he loves you so much. And God is doing great things in the world right now. If you, listening to this broadcast today, are not sure of your salvation, if you're not sure, if you died tonight, if you would be in the arms of Jesus. You know, I am very aware in the last few days of the shortness of life. One more time, I mean, losing Tim Russert, a lot of you know him, broadcaster, when he passed away suddenly on Friday, we had one of our people, Marilyn Bonita, go to be with the Lord in a traffic accident a couple weeks ago, and she was only 34 years old. And when you have things like this happen, and we're going to celebrate her life this coming Sunday morning at Beacon of Hope. But when you have things like this happen where people that you've watched on TV or somebody that has been an active part of your life is suddenly gone, it reminds you that life is short. If you are not positive of your relationship with God right now, please repeat with me. Dear Heavenly Father, I choose right now to accept you as my personal Lord and Savior. I ask you, God, to come into my heart. Forgive me for all I've ever said or done that was not pleasing to you. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and that God raised Jesus from the dead. Come into my heart now, God, and live in me by faith. I receive you now as my Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer, or if you just want to contact me, you can reach me very easily, pastor@beaconofhopeministries.com. We'd like for you to know that we'd like for you to email, and we're going to be talking more about that soon. We would like to hear your comments or your questions or ideas. We're going to open the phone lines again soon, and we are excited that you have joined us today on Living the Good Life. And as always, it's always fun doing these shows and talking to you about God and what he's doing in our ministry and in our lives. We welcome you Wednesday night, 6 o'clock prayer and praise, 7 o'clock Bible study at the corner of 580 and US 19 in Clearwater at the Howard Johnson Resort. You are welcome. We'd love to have you. Next Sunday morning, we will have a service. Call or write me at PastorBeaconofHopeMinistries.com for directions to next Sunday morning service beginning at 10:30. It will also be a celebration of the life of Marilyn and what a wonderful person she was. And we miss her, and she is with the Lord Jesus. God bless you today. This has been Pastor Marcia McAllister from Beacon of Hope Ministries in Dunedin, Florida, and Living the Good Life, joining you. Join us again next week at this time. We come on right at 4:34 every Sunday afternoon, Tampa time. Did you know it's not far to Jesus? Listen to the song as we sign off today. It's not far to Jesus.
Loving arms are open wide. Close your eyes and he will lead you safely to his side. There's no